you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Hey there. Before we get into today's story, I want to thank all of you who've donated to support this show. Tell Them I Am would not have happened if we didn't have support from KPCC listeners. You really are what keeps the lights on here, and we need lights to edit and do interviews. If you haven't donated yet, do it now. Just go to kpccpodcast.org and donate $35, and you'll get a really cool Tell Them I Am t-shirt. Thanks. Now to the show. My mom put lipstick on me for the first time when I was 3 or maybe 4. It was pink, light pink. And she comes from a huge family. She's the 8th of 10 sisters. And she's objectively the most beautiful. Her name's Sajila, which means decorated in Urdu. And she takes her name really seriously. I think she always has. She paints her nails before every major outing, and she considers every outing major. She taught at an all-girls college in her 30s. And I don't know if this is a made-up memory, but I remember all the girls started dressing like her, and they would squeal every time they were around her. She was like their idol. I mean, in Pakistan, it's normal to have someone tailor-make your clothes. It is not normal to have them do it every single week. She's always been like this. Now, she's 51. Every single morning, she blow-dries her hair. She puts a full face of makeup on, blush, eyeliner, lipstick, foundation, mascara, eyeshadow. She wears Elizabeth Taylor-level jewelry. And then she goes to school to teach special ed, where on some days, students have literally rubbed poop on her. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I think my mom is one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen. She could walk out of the house in her PJs, put no makeup on, and still look stunning. It's like painting a blue wall blue again. I guess I just don't see the point. It wasn't until college that it occurred to me not wearing makeup was even an option. I cut out foundation, and then blush, and then eyeshadow, and then eyeliner, lipstick, and then I wasn't wearing mascara or even brushing my eyebrows until I wasn't wearing makeup at all. But every time I'd come home, I would get physically anxious knowing what was going to happen. My mom would see me walk into the house and she would go, "Oh, do you want some lipstick?" Like it was food. And I'd tell her, "No." And then she'd go, "Let me do it. I'll put it on you." And I would lose my shit. One night, we were getting ready for a party at a family friend's house. I think I was like 21. My mom and my sister dressed to the nines, hair done, nails done, Elizabeth Taylor jewelry. Me in the living room. Simple pastel party dress, hair blow-dried, flats and nail polish. I looked gorgeous. My mom looked at me. She said, "Misha, I think you'd look better with a little lipstick. Do you want my pink one?" I said, "No." My mom tried again. "I'll do it for you." "Mom, I know how to put on lipstick. I don't like it." Even my dad chimed in and was like, "Sajila, she looks nice. Leave her." My mom wouldn't let it go. She's like, "I'm your mom. Just do this one thing for me." And I'm still like, "No." And she goes, "I'm a failure of a mother. My children don't even listen to me." And then she starts crying. But I wasn't going to let her win this one. And I was so wound up, I yelled at my crying mother, "Do you think I'm so ugly that you can't let me out of the house without some lipstick? No, I think you're beautiful and want the world to see it." I didn't go to the party. The other day I was hanging out with some friends and their 2-year-old daughter. And this kid, she's kind of impossible. So to calm her down, I suggested we play with lipstick. I didn't think twice about it. I asked her, "Do you want to put lipstick on me or do you want me to put it on you?" And she was super into it. It's the first time this kid has liked me. And then her mom rushes over like I'm a crazy person trying to put lipstick on a child. And she goes, "We don't wear lipstick." And I just thought, What's the big deal? I'm Misha Youssef. This is Tell Them I Am, a podcast about the small moments in our lives that define us.
My name is Alia Shawkat. I'm an actor, writer, painter. I was like 15 to 17 kind of age, right when I was shooting Arrested Development, actually. And I had been working in L.A. I would work in L.A. like half of the year. And then you have to go back to Palm Springs to kind of keep living my normal school life. And it was always a hard come down. On one hand, I was in L.A., you know, with like my best friends, making art, being treated like an adult. And then I'd have to all of a sudden come back to the desert. Like the only fun thing to do for kids was to smoke pot in cars and drive around in like weird desert zones and like listen to Sublime. That was kind of the peak of our of our culture. The minute I kind of went through puberty, I, you know, started wanting to go out, even just like wearing skirts or lipstick. And for my father, it was like he just got very strict all of a sudden, like an iron fucking sheet dropped. Like, no, you're not allowed to leave the house. You're not allowed to stay out past this time. You're not allowed to go out with your friends. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I really felt like I had earned it, too, because I'd been working so much and keeping good grades. So I felt like I deserved to be able to have freedom when I came home. You know, I was like, I should be allowed to do what I want. And he was like, you're living under my house, my rules. It was like that kind of thing. My dad, he thought I was a lot more vulnerable than my brothers. Like, a girl out there, what's going to happen to her? And I always think that's such a, you know, not just in Middle Eastern culture, but lots of, like, older cultures. They're like, it's not that I don't trust you. It's like, I don't trust them. I don't trust the men out there, you know? And I'm like, I find that just as offensive. I was like, I feel like I could take care of myself better than my brother, honestly. I feel, you know, you're making it seem like I have no wits about me at all.
Was he not like that before you hit puberty?
No, he wasn't very strict before. But I guess there was nothing to really be strict about. And I still talk about my parents, like the idea of this like independence that I craved so much more than my brothers. I used to like steal the car and take it out without them knowing. And I would like smoke cigarettes in the car and like just like crazy shit. And yeah, I started getting caught a lot for smoking pot. And then it would just make me want to smoke more. So it just became this kind of game to see how far I could get away with it. The worst one was when I got drug tested and I had been smoking pot and I think I had tried mushrooms for the first time and I was like really scared of getting caught. And also because I was acting at the time, my parents were like, if you get in trouble, if you get caught smoking again, we'll take you off the show, which was like the biggest threat ever. So he said he was going to drug test me in a couple days and I kind of panicked and my best friend, I asked her, I was like, how are we going to get clean pee? And we were trying to find something you could drink, but nothing was really like foul proof, you know. And finally, her dad offered up his own pee and said that he would give it for me to use it. And at the time, I was like, makes sense. Bring it on by, you know. So they came over. It was like in a Dunkin' Donuts cup. We were not sexually active then. And I bought condoms. And I was so embarrassed buying condoms in the stores because I would buy the condoms and then I put the pee into the condom. And then I wrapped it up in, like, a little knot. And then I carried this little, like, ball of pee in my, like, stocking. And my dad drives me there. And I'm so nervous. I, like, feel it, like, bouncing. And I pour it in the cup. And I get really nervous because I realize, like, I didn't know if you could see the sex or if the temperature's off. Like, all these things that I never thought of. But I give it to the lady. And then, you know, it felt like months had passed. But really had only been, like, a couple weeks probably. But I just, like, completely forgot about it. I was like, oh, we're good. Because I used to just function in that kind of way. I was like, whatever it takes. Like, it's fun. Never thought of the aftermath. And then my parents sat me down, and my mom starts crying. And my dad tells me that the results, like, the guy said, it had the highest rating of, like, methamphetamine they had ever seen. My friend's dad was, like, a meth head, it turns out. But my parents thought I was, like, insane. My mom was like, meth, Alia? You're a meth head? And I was like, no, I swear I just smoke pot. And I was like, let's go get another test. I'll prove it to you. And so we did another test, only, you know, marijuana came up. And they were just more flabbergasted, I think, by the extent that I went to not get caught. And that, ironically, weirdly enough, weed didn't seem that bad in comparison to meth. I really felt like my dad and I were, like, like we were like at war with each other. I was like, you want to see how far I'm willing to go? Like we both were just like battling, you know, like super hard. But that was pretty bad. I think they both kind of took a step back after that. They were like, she's willing to go to whatever to not get in trouble. Our dynamic really shifted pretty much from my memory, like when I turned 18. I was moving to New York to go to school, which I didn't end up staying at very long. But I went to Sarah Lawrence for literally 3 days. I was paying for the school, and I remember I showed up and my mom went there to drop me off, and I just realized, I was like, this is not going to be for me. I had an independent film that I was attached to make, and I think I had a delusional idea that I was going to be able to do school and film at the same time. And I realized I wanted to be working. So I kind of had to make this shift, even though my whole life had been geared towards academically, going to college. And I remember telling my parents and being really nervous about it because I was like, I just don't think this is for me. I was like, socially, I'd already been traveling a lot on my own, and I just felt like I wasn't going to learn well in this format. I was like, I want to move to the city, and I want to kind of just figure it out and keep working. And both my parents were so, it was like, yeah, okay, whatever you want. Like, not even a challenge, really. You know, when I was younger, a lot of choices I had made was a reaction to him. You know, it was the opposite to him. You're not allowed to leave the house. Well, I am leaving the house. You know, you're not allowed to go here. Well, I am going to go there. So now, when the trust had been given over, it was kind of a shock how quickly it was. Like, all of a sudden, my rebellious energy had morphed. So all these things had kind of shifted. And like 6 years ago now, I got a film that shot in Jordan, in Amman, Jordan. And I had been to the Middle East only a couple times before, but on briefer, smaller trips, and always like with my mom or something, never with my dad. But now all of a sudden I'm going to be there for like a month and a half. And I remember I landed at the airport, and it's called like Princess Alia Airport. And like my name is like Tom Smith out there, you know? They're like, Alia Shawkat, come on in. You know, like it was like very, very normal. And that feeling alone was like so grounding. And also, when you feel connected to a part of yourself that's kind of unknown to you, you know, it's like, oh, this is part of my blood, but you don't know me. And yet I feel so comfortable with you. I feel comfortable watching the way you guys are eating because it reminds me of how my grandma ate. And I thought that was just personal to me because my family was always the Arab family in, you know, a white kind of world. But there it was like this whole world had existed that I was a part of without knowing it. And everyone on the crew was, you know, made up of Arabs from like all over, like Lebanese, Palestinian, Iraqi. And everyone was just like so welcoming and also really encouraging and thought it was so cool that I was Arab, you know, but American. They were like, you know, I would say like a couple of the words I knew in Arabic, but it was like Iraqi Arabic. And they were like, oh, that's so Iraqi the way you say it. And I was like, oh, my God, like I had no idea what I was doing. I was like pulling out a hat trick that I had never performed in front of anybody. You know, looking back now, I realized so much that I would always give my dad shit. Like, if he didn't say a word, he didn't pronounce it right, I'd make fun of him, you know, which is, like, still funny to do. But just, like, the irony of, like, kids being like, ah, oh, get with it, you're so weird, like, you're not from here. It's, like, really, like, such a crazy feat for them to start a whole new world and a family in a different country. Like, when he was my age, he had only been here, like, a couple of years. So, like, I can't imagine, like, if I went to a different place and started a whole new world and just what that means. And also, he changed so much. You know, he had to accept so many things about just living in America, having American kids, having them grow up, having a daughter here in America, and how he would see, you know, how women are treated and where his fear came from. And it wasn't just because he didn't trust me. And I think that I realize what's the something that I've gotten from my dad, for better or worse, is the thing that's most important to him is what's most important to me is respect. It's like respect is the ultimate kind of thing that I want from people and that I feel like I deserve for myself. And he wants that too. It's like all about respect with him. So it was in that way, which I feel like is a kind of, you know, is very cultural to him, is like it's about the respect of the father, the respect of the person whose home you're living in. You know, even if it's a guest, it's like you respect these people, you respect me. And I felt like I had that on my own. You know, I was like, you respect me. And I think that's why we're so similar and why we butted heads so much. And now while we're able to, like, appreciate each other.
You can learn more about Alia Shawkat by checking out her Twitter at ShawkatAlia or her website for her art, MutantAlia.com. Or you can just watch any of the shows and movies she's been in. Thank you so much for listening to Tell Them I Am. I'm Misha Youssef. This episode of Tell Them I Am was sound designed by James Kim and written by James Kim, Arwen Nix, and me. Mary Knopf is my producer, and don't tell James Kim, but she's collecting dirt on him, and it's all going to be released on one special occasion. Arwen Nix is the podcast boss here at KPCC, and she's also our editor. Thanks for always having our backs, Arwen. Valentina Rivera and Sean Corey Campbell are our engineers. Our tile art is by our talented designer, Stephanie Kraft. Our beautiful music is by David Leinard. You can find incredible illustrations of all of our guests as the episodes release. Thanks to Emin Ahmed for those. You should really see them. Just go to kpcc.org/tellthem or follow me on Instagram or Twitter @Misha Youssef. We'll be back tomorrow with another story.